Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 89. Today's date, October 21st. Folks, we've hit the NBA season, and I got a whole lot to talk about. We'll start in the WNBA, where we'll talk about the New York Liberty winning their first WNBA championship, a 67-62 win over the Minnesota Lynx in a fantastic game. People didn't like it. I'm a defensive coach. I thought it was outstanding. Next, we stay in the WNBA, and I give you my top five teams for 2025. This is going to be based off of what I think is going to happen in free agency, so on and so forth. You'll be surprised. There's a team that was a top three team in the league that I don't think is going to be top five next season. Next, we go to the NBA and all these news that Sham Sharani's reported. We'll talk about Chris Middleton not playing opening night for the 76ers. For the Milwaukee Bucks versus the 76ers. We'll talk about Trey Murphy III, someone I'm a big fan of, getting the bag, and rightfully so. We'll talk about Jalen Green getting the bag from Houston. We'll talk about a little bit about Kawhi Leonard. I'm not big on him, but obviously we'll talk about Kawhi Leonard and the fact now that they will not have him to start the season for the Clippers. And then we'll go to my top five centers in the NBA, and then we'll end it previewing Toronto, Utah, and the Washington Wizards. Let's get started. 67-62. Boy, what a game. When I left here last week, I said that whoever won game three was going to win game four. Wrong. Dead wrong. Because we had ourselves a game five, and we had ourselves a ball game and a 67-62 win. Nafisha Collier can't say enough about what she did, proving herself to be a top three player in the world. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. Kayla McBride, 21 points. She got better as the series got going. For the Liberty, Breanna Stewart struggled mightily shooting the ball. I think she was only 1 of 8 or 1 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 9 from the floor in the first half. Hit 2 big free throws at the end of regulation, and then obviously the 2 to ice the game. And then we got to talk about my girl, Jonquel Jones, 6'6 center out of GW. I told y'all, if there was a difference maker for the New York Liberty in the finals, it was Double J. Why? 6'6. Shoot the ball. Take you to the low block. She could do it all. And with Sabrina Nescu shooting 1 for 19 from the floor, and Breanna Stewart struggling as well, with her shooting percentages in game five, Jonquel Jones and some other players really stepped up for the Liberty. You got to talk about Sabali and her play and probably her best game as a pro. I think she had 13 points and 7 rebounds. You have to talk about the play of that. You have to talk about the lane of Ilona Fibic. I talked about her play, and she was 4 of 11, hit the big shot in overtime, I do believe, to give them a 63-60 lead. What is being talked about too much is Cheryl Reeve's comments at the end of the game, after the game, post-game. I'm going to lay it on it to you right now, folks. Simply put, did Cheryl Reeve complain after game four when they got all the calls? No. Did she talk about Nafisha Collier missing a 4-foot layup up 2 at the end of regulation? Nope. Did he talk about the fact that McBride had an open 3 at the top of the key at the end of regulation and missed? Nope. Did she talk about Carrollton missing down 3, 65-62? Nope. Did they talk about the play they ran at the end of the game when it was the worst flare screen I've ever seen in the history of basketball? Nope. So here's what you got to do, Cheryl Reeve. I respect you. You're fantastic. But damn it, don't blame the officials. When you have a game like that close, there's about 100 or 1,000 different things you could have done differently that could have won you the game. Simply put, your team did not finish. You know who finished? New York. They got that game tied up at the end of the third quarter. They leaned on that crowd. They were up, if I'm not mistaken, Liberty, I think, was up 4 in the last 2.5 minutes, went down 2. And listen, last thing I'm going to say this about the call. There is a rule of verticality when you go straight up. Anytime you go down, you're going to get a foul call, whether you think so or not. Whether you think that was clean or not, when you go down on a block shot, they're going to call it every single time. The referees made the right call. Yeah, he wanted him to swallow the whistle. It was extremely physical. But Cheryl Reeve, after what went on in game four, don't you dare complain about what happened in that game, and that's why you lost that finals. Speaking of the finals, let's move on to 2025, and I'm going to quickly give you my top five teams going into next year based off of what I know. Number five, the Seattle Storm. Listen, it was kind of a touch-and-go thing with this team, but Onyeka Onwuzurike is a free agent. We got to see what happens with Onyeka. Number four, Indiana Fever. Folks, they were great the second half of the year. We've talked about Caitlin Clark and the ascension of Aaliyah Boston. We have to see if they re-sign Kelsey Mitchell after Melissa Smith, what happens with Chrissy Sides, but that team is on the come up for the future. Number three, Las Vegas. Up and down season. We'll see if, obviously, Becky Hammon comes back to coach the team. They still have Asia Wilson. They still have Jackie Young. They still have Chelsea Gray. Do know Kelsey Plum is a free agent this year that could move the needle a little bit one way or the other. Remember, she's from California. Valkyries, maybe? I'm just saying. Number two, the Minnesota Lynx. Listen, they're fantastic. Carlton, McBride, Courtney Williams, obviously LaFisha Collier, Cheryl Reeve. They're the second best team going into the league next year, and I think we could get ourselves a rematch. The number one team is the New York Liberty. Ready? John Quell's back next year. We know what we're going to get next year out of NSU's coming back. John Quell Jones is re-signed. Now, it's going to be key. What happens with Sloot? Courtney Vanderson, does she retire? What do they do with her? Remember, because you have the expansion draft. What do you do with Kayla Thornton? What do you do with Burke? What do you do with, you know who they're not going to get rid of? Esfibich. She's going to be absolutely there. But look out, remember, Brianna Stewart is a free agent, but she will go back to New York. So once again, my top five teams in the WNBA going into next year. Number five, the Seattle Storm. Number four, the Indiana Fever. Number three, the Las Vegas Aces. Number two, the Minnesota Lynx. And the number one team going into next year, the New York Liberty. Let's head over to the NBA and let's make this quick because there's a lot of breaking news that came out, particularly yesterday, today, from Shams. And I want to give you my quick takes on each of these things. Number one, Milwaukee Bucks has said that Chris Middleton is going to miss opening day as he rehabs for offseason ankle surgery. Listen, here we go. And this is right off the bat from a team that I think is going to tremendously underachieve. I think they have age problem. I think they're going to have, honestly, folks, I think they're going to have a Giannis problem at some way, some point. Because you know what they do also have? They also have a Doc Rivers problem. So obviously, we'll talk about the game a little bit in regards to that. But Chris Middleton not playing opening night. Next, Trey Murphy III. I talk about this guy more than anybody on this network. He got himself a nice little bag, four-year, $112 million rookie contract extension for, to me, one of the premier 3-and-D guys in the NBA. And now that you have, you know, C.J. McCollum now as a two with DeJounte Murray and then Trey Murphy III as your three, you're going to see Trey Murphy III game continue to accelerate. Now, the problem with Trey is simply put, can Trey stay healthy? That is the biggest thing with Trey Murphy III, but I'm a big believer in his game, and I'm a big believer in the New Orleans Pelicans. You know who I'm not a big believer in? That's the Clippers, under 35.5 wins, and here we go. Kawhi is out, especially after last year when he played in a boatload of games, first time in a long time. They're already starting with Kawhi being out. And if you think about the Clippers who begin the season, right, just think about their schedule, right, to begin the season, okay? And let's just get this going. Phoenix, we'll talk about the game a little bit, at Denver, at Golden State, home Portland, home Phoenix, home Oklahoma City. Folks, they could be like 1-5 to start the season. And then the game after that is home San Antonio, who I think is going to be way better. And then they got to play Philadelphia and Sacramento. Hello. By November 8th, they may only have two wins. And if this guy's not healthy, they're going to have to rely on James Harden. James Harden. They're going to have to rely on him. Now, listen, the beard has been great for a long time. I'm just not a believer in him this year. And I'm definitely not a believer in the Clippers. Remember, Clippers under 35.5 wins. But you know who I'm big on? The Houston Rockets. And I want people to understand, when we're, this is Monday, the 21st. This is about 5 p.m., okay? They are going to have until 6 p.m., so there could be other players that could sign extensions by 6 p.m. tonight that if we do get the word, we will talk about it on Wednesday's filming of the podcast release on Thursday. Last one, really quick. Jalen Green got a three-year, $106 million rookie contract extension. This is someone that's been a really good player that's gotten better. She, you know, we need them to focus on the defensive end of the floor. You know, remember he was the G League Ignite player in 2020, and the 2+1 deal was 2 years plus a 1 year option. It's really going to be important that you got to watch it for one more, and that's Şengün. I'm telling you right now, Rockets team total over wins. Go book it right now. Speaking of book it, let's book it and start talking about the top five centers in the NBA. Number five, Domantas Sabonis, star of the Sacramento Kings. Number four, he wasn't a four, he was a four last year. Now he's a five. That's Karl-Anthony Towns of the New York Knicks. Number three, Big Baguette, Victor Wembanyama. Number two, Joel Embiid. And the number one center, Nikola Jokic. And I just want to take a couple of minutes really quick just to kind of talk about these guys. Sabonis is someone that's been so intriguing because he's basically, he's such a depth passer. Like, people start thinking about the things he does in regards to scoring and rebounding. He's really become a really good passer, and he allows the team to run the offense through him for a Sacramento Kings team that I think is going to win the Pacific Division. Mark my words, plus 250 on FanDuel. Speaking of guys I love, my man Karl-Anthony Towns, nicknamed in New York, the Big Bodega. If y'all know about bodegas in New York City, just come on down to New York City and check out the bodega. I know my guy, you know, Matt George, our producer, is laughing in my ear knowing that we're talking about bodegas. Bodegas are a huge part of New York culture. And you know what's going to be a huge part of this culture? Karl-Anthony Towns. 7 foot, stretch five, shoots the three, better defensively than you think he is, rim protector. And this is why the New York Knicks are going to be the biggest challengers to Boston. Boston has the mold of Porzingis. If you look at it, the Knicks went and got a better Porzingis and Karl-Anthony Towns. Number three on the list. Won't be three for long. Victor Wembanyama. And I remind you, Matt, next episode, we're going to do my top 10 players in the NBA. We got to do that. Because this is going to be the interesting one right here is Wembanyama. Folks, if he plays 35 minutes a night, look out. 25, 14, 5 blocks, 5 assists, go home safely. Minus 155 to be defensive player of the year. Check it. Maybe an MVP conversation. Check it. And may, if they want to give it to him, the most improved player in the league. Victor Wembanyama, who does things every game. That you're like, damn, I've never seen that before. Year two is loading, and it's going to be better than its rookie year. Number two, Joel Embiid. Why is Embiid not number one? Availability. He always seems to get hurt, and at the wrong time. I mean, he was gimpy against the Knicks, so I guess right time for me last year because I'm a Knicks fan. But Joel Embiid, the number two center in the NBA, it's about him being healthy. And let's be honest, folks. Is it one and two, or is it 1A and 1B? Because the number one center in the league is Nikola Jokic, walking triple-double, king of the dad bod, a guy that makes me feel like my bod looks great next to his. But I ain't 7 foot and can shoot a three over the head and can dime people up and rebound like reckless abandonment. Nikola Jokic is not just only the best center in the league. I'm telling you this right now, when I come out with it next week, Nikola Jokic is my number one player in the NBA. Let's keep moving with some previews. And we're going to make this quick because none of these three teams are going to be very good. You'll get the feeling here. Number first off, Toronto Raptors, over on their win total, 28.5 wins. When you look at this team, this is a team that's going to be very young. They're going to rely on the play of Emmanuel Quickley and R.J. Barrett in the backcourt. What do we get out of Grady Dick in year number two? Scottie Barnes is fantastic. Jakob Poeltl, decent player, but you start looking at their bench. Bruce Brown, when is he going to get traded? Kelly Olynyk, when is he going to get traded? Davion Mitchell, he just got that. He may get traded again. Folks, the only reason why they're not going to be in last place in their division is they're in the same division as the Nets. And the Nets are awful. The Nets are god-awful. In fact, the Nets are going to be the worst damn team in the NBA. Remember, I told you, under 18 and a half wins. I like this team. I like some of the players. I'm a big Quickly guy. I'm a big RJ guy. I love Scottie Barnes. Jakob Poeltl, sneaky good with the double-double. But at the end of the day, he can't measure up to these other teams in the Atlantic Division. Toronto Raptors under 28 and a half wins. Next, let's move on to the Utah Jazz. We got the Jazz. They got no Jazz. Over under 27 and a half wins. Folks, if you know the theme, what I'm going with today, play the under. Because at the end of the day, Danny Ainge is playing the long game. It's not about if, it's when. When are guys going to get moved? When is Lauri Markkanen going to get moved? When is Jordan Clarkson going to get moved? When is Walker Kessler going to get moved? When is John Collins going to get moved? When is Colin Sexton going to get moved? Get my point? They have a young player in Keontae George I'm big on. Obviously, you know I love Lauri Markkanen. John Collins, he's a walking enigma. Patty Mills, like, what are we doing here? This is just, he's punting to collect more draft assets. Simply put, no way to go around it. Under 27 and a half wins for the Utah Jazz. Last up, the Wizards. Oh, my Lord. If the Nets are bad, it's funny. Like, who's going to be worse? Who's going to be worse? The Wizards? Right? Who's got the tie for the lowest odds at 19 and a half with Brooklyn? Or the Nets? Folks, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be Brooklyn, but the Wizards are going to be god-awful. They're going to be god-awful. It's about development. Can Bilal Coulibaly get better? Can Alex Saar improve? Right? Can Corey Kispert be better? You know, Jonathan Valanciunas, they're going to try and get rid of him. Kuzma? So, at the end of the day, I think it's an under. So we're going to make this very simple today, okay? We're going under the win totals for Toronto at 28 and a half. We're going under on the win totals of Utah at 27 and a half. And I'm going under the Washington Wizards in the capture the flag sweepstakes, maybe for Ace Bailey as well, under 19 and a half. So let's quickly go over some games. I'm going to tell you quick thoughts who I think is going to win or cover the spread. I will have plays on the Sports Grid app tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday for these games. First off, heavyweight matchup, Knicks-Boston. The over-under is 225 and a half, Boston minus 5. I think New York and Boston have the two best offenses in the league. I think this game's going to be extremely high scoring and extremely fun to watch. My best bet on this game will be Boston-New York over 222 and a half. Second game of the nightcap is Minnesota minus 1.5 point favorites on the road against LeBron and the Lakers over under 223. Simply put, Lakers going nowhere, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are going somewhere. I'm taking Minnesota Timberwolves minus 120 on the money line. On the games on Wednesday, Big Southeast matchup, two best teams. Miami minus 2 at home versus Orlando. I think Orlando makes a statement here. I like Orlando plus 118 on the money line to get the win on the road. Or if you want to play a better bet, maybe go under 209.5. Two really good defensive teams and two teams that sometimes tend to struggle. Next, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. No, it's only minus 2. And no Chris Middleton. Huh? Philadelphia minus 130. They get the job done on opening night against Giannis. It's going to be a long season in Milwaukee. Last, Phoenix minus 4.5 point favorites on the road at the Clippers. Kawhi ain't playing. PG is gone. Maybe you get a triple-double out of James Harden, but I'm going to lay the points minus 4.5. So really quickly, the five games we're focusing on Tuesday and Wednesday. Knicks, Celtics, over 222.5. Second game of the day, I'm going to go ahead with Minnesota minus 120 on the money line. For games on Wednesday we're focusing on, let's go Orlando plus 118 on the money line, also under 209.5. Then we'll go with the Philadelphia 76ers on the money line, minus 130 at home versus Milwaukee. And then as road favorites, minus 4.5, we're going to take the Phoenix Suns over the LA Clippers. This has been Betting Above the Rim Podcast, episode 89. For all things sports gambling, download that SportsGrid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast, we're going to preview games for Thursday through Sunday. Give you things to look at. I'm going to start to give you more of my coaching hat so you can start to figure out your games way in advance. We'll also give you my top 10 players in the world, and then we'll start to slowly get into college. Folks, college basketball is only 2 weeks away. For my producer, Maddie George, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. As always, remember, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.